Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. This satsang, this radio program is for Saturday, September the 26, 2015. And I'm very grateful you chose to be with us. We're going to be looking at sick of our sickness today. A quote by Lao Tzu that we must be in order to understand the nature of our life and to truly work upon ourselves, be sick of our sickness. And I hope that you enjoy the program and that it helps you in some way. I want to remind you that these programs, these satsangs, as well as my TV offerings, are all there due to the kind and loving hearts of my sponsors and my mystery donor. Our sponsors are the ones who make all of this available. They are so kind. They do their monthly and quarterly donations, and they pay for airtime so I can make these programs for you. And I hope that you will consider becoming a sponsor. We're at our year-end drive now, and our sponsor will match any year-end gift you give in order to help us sustain our offerings here on Aspire. Why not make a donation? Why not become a sponsor? He'll even match your sponsorship. It's really a very loving thing he's doing, and we need your help, of course. All not-for-profits are needing your help. So we live in a culture and a society that, you know, things like this program and Aspire and many others are kind of at the hands of those of you who generate kindness and love. And we deeply appreciate it here at Aspire. In fact, I'm the only one here at Aspire, so I deeply appreciate it. And I hope that you will help us sustain our efforts. Let's go to the first question. How do I really change myself? I hate being a so generic, Tom from Idaho. I loved it. What caught my eye, Tom, and what I loved about your question was, I hate being so generic. People are always looking in some way or another to either stand out or to stand back. Some people don't want to be noticed. Other people really want to be noticed. And I won't go into the female thing because, in my opinion, well, why not? Might as well get chopped liver here done. You know, it's so interesting. Women don't wear clothes. They wear costumes. And they call it being cute. And they want to be alluring. And they want to stand out. And they want to be special. And men, you know how we are. We're pretty much penguins. We like running around with our penguin suits. So the deal is everybody's looking at something they want to be in their life that they don't think they are. And they want to stand out in order to get what? Maybe affection, notoriety, whatever. So generic. We are generic. We're generic for a lot of reasons. And I'll tell you one of the reasons why, Tom, is we basically, I don't know how to say this other than just to say it, we don't have many options in our own minds. We don't know what we're here for. We don't know why we're here. We don't know the meaning of being here. So we start to amp up ideas like we should be successful. I'm a CEO. Really, that makes you unique and special, huh? That means you know what you're talking about because you're CEO, things like that. Well, all these things, these labels and these things we do don't make us anywhere near not genetic. Generic is genetic, and genetic is generic. And if you follow your genetics, you're going to be generic. And you're not going to be very happy about your life because in the end, you're going to see there were greater and lesser people than yourself all throughout your life. people want to leave history. They want a mark on this world when they leave it. I've heard this over and over and over again in my career. I can't believe the stuff I hear half the time, but there it is. I want the world to know I lived here. You're the only proof, as they look at their children. You're the only proof I was here. You're going to go out and show that our genetic lineage is really powerful, and we're all good people, and good things come from our lineage, things like that. This is the way we go over and over and over and over and over again. It isn't true. Just because someone says so doesn't make it true. What is the whole thing that would change us? Well, Lao Tzu said, we have to be sick of our sickness. In other words, I have to start looking at myself from another point of view. Are you tired of the person you've become? Are you tired about the routine and the things you have to do to sustain that personage? Are you tired of it? Does it keep you going, as it were, to strive and try to have more and be the best? Do you think that's what it's all about? That's what most people tell me. You have to be the best you can be. Really? What if the best you can be is not helping humankind? It's only helping yourself. Or what if the best you can be is only mediocre at best? What if being the best you can be limits you to who and what you really are? The truth of who and what you really are. It's not a race. We're not in a race, although human beings think they are because they're in the human race. But I think there's more to it. In fact, I know there's more. The direct experience. You have to want love, Tom, more than wanting what you think will give you love, or even what love is. If you don't do that, if you don't have that, if you don't live in that, then you will miss this entire thing, and nothing of love will ever reach you. And that will be tragic. That will be deeply tragic. But that's the way most people live, in a tragedy. What does it mean not to be generic? It means if I live from my genetic mind, my genetic heart, I'm only living by what my ancestors lived by. And over and over and over again, I will live in this way and in this manner. And I will never come out. The beauty of me will never come out. The blessing of me will never come out. I will stay prejudiced to my own genetics. And hence, I become generic because everybody is prejudiced according to their genetics. We are prejudiced. We think, oh, my family's better than your family. Or this family is better than that family. And that's all we think about. It's the only way we live. We don't go into anything more profound. We live in the profane, seeking profoundness, and it never happens. It can't happen that way. So, Tom, if you are really serious about this, it isn't going to be by changing your hat that you change, or changing your face and putting on a beard, or shaving a beard, or whatever. It isn't going to be about an attitude that you might adopt in order to sustain something you believe in about yourself or think you should believe in. It's much more than all of that. And what all of us have to kind of wonder is then, what is it? What are we really talking about here? We are talking about love. Love is the only thing that changes anything in our life. It is the only thing that makes life worth living. It is the only thing that gives life value and meaning. Otherwise, what do I have? What could I possibly have? What could be of great insight? What could be of great love? Isn't love everything to, well, not to most people, but isn't it everything? I mean, if you really look at it, if you really look at it, what is love all about? It is about coming into that place inside, that beautiful place, where everything is discovered just as it is. Not as I want it to be, not as I believe it should be, but it is as it is. And if I can look at it from that point of view, if I can see love from that point of view, if I can experience love from that point of view, now I have something magnificent. Now I have something beautiful. Something that allows me to see the bigger picture of everything that is my life. Your life is precious. Really, it is, Tom. But most people just aren't into that. They think what makes their life precious is what other people think of them. They think of what makes their life important is the prejudices they hold. Do they have the right attitude that makes them, shall we say, fit into society, yada, yada, yada. All of this stuff, it doesn't help anyone, and it won't help you either. The most beautiful aspect of your life is the one that you and I mostly ignore, and that is how to let love live me. I hope that helps you a little bit, Tom. You have to be sick of the way you are. You have to be fatigued, sick and tired of it all. And then you must seek love. At all costs, no matter what it means, no matter how many people may dislike you for the love you seek, the mistakes maybe you've made, yada da yada da. Always remember one thing, and this will really help you. Give back to people what they would never give to you. Give love to the loveless. Give kindness to the unkind. Give forgiveness to the unforgivable. And give compassion to those who are not very compassionate, complacent. Then you will have changed many things in your life, and you will no longer be genetic or generic. Please forgive me. Namaste. It's a great question. Very good question. Never have I had someone ask me about the idea of not being generic. People love being generic. Next question comes from Grant. What constitutes my sense of seeking to be right? I'm always trying to be right. Is this correct? And then he put a smiley face. Grant, being right doesn't mean we've changed. One of the things that is my sickness is thinking I'm right. Who's right? Who's wrong? Who's good? Who's bad? What does right mean? I might be accurate here and there, you know, in my life, or I'm accurate with my students. Believe me, I am, because I know them so well. But right, really, what could right be? What does it mean to be right? What is right? Right is what I believe it to be that accentuates my hubris. People like to be right. Let me tell you what to change it out for. Seek humility. Find the humility that brings meekness to your life. That brings the meekness of being teachable. so teachable that you can hear things that most people refuse to acknowledge. What do I mean by that? To listen to the sound of one hand clapping, the sound of water running through the pine trees, to see the bigger picture of what it is just to love, just to give, without the whole idea of there being some kind of reason for it, some kind of ulterior motive. If you can simply pass the salt at the dinner table, consciously, not trying to be polite, not trying to show affection, not trying to be anything other than just what you are, just passing the salt. No motive, no intent, just passing the salt. No cowboys, no Indians. No right, no wrong, no good, nor bad. Nati, nati, neither this and neither that. You have done very well. You have meditatively passed the salt. There is just the salt, the pepper, that's it. Just this. People will tell you about now. There is no now. I've said this many, many times. Now refers to time, no matter what anybody may say. Now is timeless, really? Well, how about impermanence? Not even now can stand up to that. Because in every moment of our life, we are in impermanence. Everything is in a flux. Everything is changing. Nothing is what I think it is. And as long as I continue to insist upon everything being the way I insist upon everything being, I have missed the meaning of my life. The value of living is found only in impermanence, because you begin to realize we're an evolution. And we are constantly evolving from this to that and that into this. And we direct that course. If when you were younger you were insecure, you will find ways to try maybe to compensate for that. Those compensations created implications and karma. Things that were not maybe very healthy, very helpful to your consciousness. Just trying to get people to want you, to love you, to care about you, to affectionize you, to respect you. If you don't respect yourself, it won't matter who respects you. You asked me, what constitutes the idea of not being right? Humility. It is the antidote for everything. Because what is right in one moment may not be in the next. What is right over here is not right over there. What looks right up here, down there, may not have the same meaning at all. So you have to look at everything and ask yourself, what is this? What am I doing? What am I all about? What is this thing called my rightness? It is nothing more than my ego, my vanity, and my pride. And that is the things we need to let go of that is most important in the course of a human being's life. It is letting go of that that makes life worth living. So, grant, be willing to be humble. Don't make life humble you. Let life love you. Let life give to you. If life has to humble me, which it has, for me personally, if it has, and if it does for you, accept this grace willingly. If you can do these things that I have just spoken about, it will change the very structure of your living. And you will no longer wonder about what is right and wrong, good and bad. You won't plague yourself with that. Everything will be obvious. There will only be this. And in this is everything occurring. And there will be no opposites, no non-duality, or duality, I should say. Excuse me. You will live in non-duality, which means no arguments. I hope that helps you. I do. Please forgive me. Namaste. Interesting question from Grant. We don't go into non-duality too much. We like that duality. We love that confrontation. Last question comes from Robert. He does not tell me where he lives either. All men today. Can any of us really, really change? I don't see it in me, and I keep trying. I always go back to my old habits. Robert. Habits are difficult things because you and I, in our habits, we are following genetics. And when I am following genetics, I am living in my habits. And it just keeps going and going and going this way. Nothing ever really changes. What does it mean to live in my genetics? It means that whatever comes in my emotionality, as my emotionality, I think and reason from. In other words, in my emotionality, there are certain things that you do and you don't do. Certain things that seem appropriate and inappropriate. Certain things that seem good and certain things that seem bad. Certain things that look like fun but would take daring to step out of my genetics in order to do. These genetic patterns that we have based in emotionality are the reason why we are constantly in some kind of habit from here to there. Now, there is no way to change the emotionality. None whatsoever. You can try all you want. It won't work. There are no cybernetics to it. What you must do and I must do is we have to step away from emotionality. Totally step away. What does that mean? What does that look like, as people will say to me? It means I simply do not allow myself to get emotional about everything that frightens me, threatens me, rewards me, punishes me, gives me what I want. In other words, it is to live just this to just that, and just that back to just this. It means I live consciously, not unconsciously. It means I, as Buddha said, want nothing with all of my heart. It is in that motive, it is in that particular way that we change everything about our life. Everything. Nothing can remain the same when I am doing that. Nothing. I cannot be fooled. I cannot be feared. I cannot be looking at things emotionally speaking and thinking, I understand this, I don't understand that. It's all about letting go. And the more you let go, the more you let love in. Love is not emotional. It is not genetic. It is spiritual. And the people who learn the most about love are those who let go of what they think they love. And that is the rub. The more you think you love this over that, the more you think you love this because of that, whatever it may be, you have reduced yourself down to the genetic heart, and that genetic heart is the genetic love that most people live by. So I remember giving a discourse on Cahil Gibran's beautiful work on children. And at the end, during the discourse, I should say, I said to the congregation, if you don't love my child as much as your own, if you wouldn't give my child what you would give your child, then you don't love your child. You don't love at all. You should have seen the faces. Oh my God, we've gone crazy. Probably so, but it is true. When we are living in our genetics, we live only to serve the people that, and love, I should say, only the people that we have made through our loin. Kind of a sad way to sum up love, but that's what we do. There are other ways to deal with the bigger picture. And if you're a wise person, you understand those ways and you make them spiritual, Robert. Thank you for your question. I have to go. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, something I might be of service to you, please come to this website here at aspire.org and you'll see at the top, contact. Just click on it. Send me any question you like. I'd love to hear from you. If you don't want me to use your name or where you're listening to me from, that's fine. Your question is what is important. Have a beautiful day. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.